Okay, we are in Daf Nun Dalamadalov at about six to seven lines down. Rav Huna. There's actually two Rav Hunas. Rav Huna, I'll start from Hamaspala Choy Beis Aknesses Nicker Russia, okay? That's what we're up to. It's a good place to start. Everybody knows what it means to pray in the back of the Beis Medrash, right? In the Beis Knesses. So that doesn't mean that if you stand in front of the mechitza, like you violate Shomri's sign that says, please do not pray in front of the mechitza. That's not what it means, achorei beis haknesses. Although I'm sure a lot of people would wish that to call you a Rasha, but that's not what it's referring to. It's referring to, according to many Rishonim, it's a machlokes Rishonim, how to learn this more, but many Rishonim say that what it means is that you are, in, let's say Shomrei, the front is the east side, right, the Aron Kodesh side. And let's say Shomrei, one of the back, there was not a hallway there, but there were doors. Like there were doors in the back of the shul. So you walk into the shul from the back, and you walk in. So the back door is on the west side. The Aron Kodesh is on the east side. So if you pray behind the Beis HaKnesses and you face west with your back to the shul, you're that's a rosh.
Because, what?
Yeah, facing west.
What about if you find
now if you're behind the shul, this is machlokes Yishanim. This is where machlokes Yishanim kicks in. Some say achor Beis HaKnesses means that you're behind the shul and you have to face the Aron Kodesh, meaning if you're behind the shul over here, you can't face east. Because if you face east, you're not facing the Aron Kodesh that the shul is praying to. So when we had a COVID, and we had some of the 10th Nyanim were right behind the shul over here, and they faced east. So I said, this Mamsham, Grace of Shiloh, because it's a Chor Beis HaKnesses. So I don't know. Nobody was worried about that. Best thing would be not to put the tents right behind, in order to avoid this machlokas. No one should have put a tent minion right behind the back of the shul because you get involved with this machlokas rishayim. Because some rishayim say you still have to face east, others say you have to face the Aron Kodesh. In order to avoid that, they should always have made their tents minyanim to off to the side, never behind. Okay. And that's another reason, but I don't know whether that's germane or not. I was using it. Anyway, okay. So
Shlomi, doesn't achorei beis haknesses also mean if you're in behind the shul, let's say where our gallery is, let's make like you said, the women's section is not there, and the men's section goes all the way to the back, and you stand behind those doors, even facing east, but behind the doors.
I didn't see that shot anywhere. If you see that shot, let me know. I don't recall seeing that shot.
Okay.
Why would he be called a rusher? Because he doesn't want to walk in.
Right. That's a little bit harsh for that.
It's a little harsh for that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wise. I think the people that daven in the ladies section are being completely stupid.
That's a question of the
because you know I don't know if people don't realize the Chochmas Adam says that Ezra Nashim has no kedushas beis haknesses whatsoever. That's the Chochmas Adam's Shita. So why would someone go and come to shul and pray in an area that has no Kedushas Beis HaKnesses? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, let's go on. I don't want to get upset. Yeah, that's the ladies. Ladies would love to see that sign. Know thou that there is no Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. That'll be a great sign. It's going to go over real well. Okay. So it says in Shenamar, because the pasuk says, "Savli Rishon Yis Halachon." The wicked walk around about. In other words, they're walking around. Lasad Lavai, they're walking around, but they can't get into the shul. Then Rav Huna Amar, "Komishay in Anichus Meisak Nislav Mazen, Anichus Meisak Nislav Lavai." If you don't go to shul, if you're not Machshav Shul today, Lasad Lavai, you won't also be Machshav Shul. That means that you should look forward to those of you who come to shul. Lasad Lavai, they're still going to be shul. Never ends. My time. So I'll show yourself off on the same post. Yeah. There's a shul in Olam Haba. Not only that, it's Shomrei. I don't know what it means exactly. I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, it says clearly here, you're walking around the shul. If you're a Russia, you're not able to get into the shul. So there's obviously a shul. And I personally think that it's the shul that you davened in. It's like, you know, it's not the big shul that the whole Klal Yisrael is in. I think everybody, their Olam Haba is defined by the way they lived in Olam Hazeh. And therefore, their shul is also defined that way. I don't know for sure. This is a question exactly how to learn this Gemara. You know, you can learn it two ways. The person davens in his house, so it's as if he's surrounded by an iron wall. So either the iron wall is protecting him, and it's a good thing, or the iron wall is blocking all his tefillos, and it's not such a good thing. So obviously, it's going to depend on why you're davening at home, right? If you're davening at home because you don't feel like going to shul because you're lazy, then I think you're blocked by a metal wall. But if you're davening at home because you're not feeling well, then it's you're protected, okay? So whatever it is. Michlefei Shitasi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is inconsistent. Taman Amar Abba Amar Chiyavar Shem Rabbi Yochanan. Over there, he said, Tzarech Lom Hispal B'makom Shul Yuchel L'Tfila. That your person has to pray in a place which is designated for davening. Which sounds like you must daven in a shul, right? Right. B'choy Amar Ochei. Here he's saying the opposite. So in other words, let me just speak this out. According to both Pshatim, we have to understand the question. The way the Gemara reads now, the way we just translated it, it meant that the Chomer Shel Barzel is a protective thing. It's a good thing. So he was indicating davening in home was good. Kasha the Gemara is you have to daven in a makom hamiyuchel l'tefila, meaning a shul. So it sounds like davening in home was not good. That would be the question. If you learn the other way, then Kasha is the opposite. We were saying, right? We were saying that if you daven in a home, then it is what? It's commercial bazel, you're being blocked. In fact, the Gemara. But it's right. But that, exactly. I'm getting that point right now. That if your plate is exactly right, you got the pshat. So according to that mahalak, then the Gemara's kasha is that when Rabbi Yochanan said miyuchel l'tfila, it did not mean shul, like we're saying it means here, i.e. a synagogue. No, according to that mahalach, miyuchel just meant it's a place which is miyuchel for davening, meaning as long as you have a makom kavua, and even more than that, a place in your house which is kavua, that's where you always daven, it sounded like that was okay. Whereas before, he says if you're in your house, it's going to be mukaf bazel, it's not good. So these are the two mahalachim, how to learn the kasha of the Gemara. Okay, but let's just learn Pashut, that Mukhal Chomash HaBazal means a good thing, and Mukhal HaTfila means a shul. So that's the stira. So the more answer is Kam B'yochid, Kam B'tzibor. Meaning what? What would this mean then? So the first statement, which praises someone who davens in this house, that means there's no communal. You're in Huntsville, Alabama. There's no minyan. So you have to daven, you know, in your house. So that's good. So you're commercial browser. But if you're, what's his name? Where does it say you have to go to Makom Miyuchad? That's if there is a tzibur available, then you obviously have to go to shul. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Rav Pinchas Hashem Rav Aishi. He raises that question that you're raising in footnote 11. Commentators raise the following difficulty. Our Gemara says one who prays individually should pray in his house. Shulchan Aruch says that even if you pray individually, you should still pray in shul. Right? The Shmuel Harina Vela Tfila Vamakarina Sham Tay Tfila, and we dash from that you should have it in shul. So, okay. Next, I'm a spell based on Knesset Kilo Makavim for Tahira. Davening a shul, it's like it's this pure or special, whatever you want to say, mincha, whatever that means. Tar means, he says, choshev, important. All right. Matam, what have you know that? Kasha Yaviv, Ben Yisrael, some mincha, Kli Tar, Beis Hashem. Ben Yisrael, bring the mincha in a special vessel. Kli Tar, a special vessel. All right. What does it say over here? Anything important? Okay. Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'shem Rabbi Bu, Yeshua Hashem v'hi matzal. Look, search out HaKadosh Baruch Hu where he can be found. Echlem matzal, where's he found? Obviously, the Badek Nesi is about the Midrashos. Kra'uhu b'yoso karov. Call him where he's close. Echlem karov, where is he close? Again, Badek Nesi is about the Midrashos. There's a little problem here. What's the repetition for? And I believe if you look at the Gersos here, if you see there's a brackets in the Hebrew text. It says Vabatek Nesias Vabatek Midrashas, and there's a Yud Aleph next to that. And in the Yud Aleph, it says that the other Gersa is B'shah Shahatzibur Mispalwin. Okay? So in order for this not to be repetitive, Kura'uhu B'yoso Karov, Echen Hu Karov, that would be B'shah Shahatzibur Mispalwin. It would work out a little better. Okay? Amar Yitzchak Rabbi Lazar, the Loyai Elisha Elohehen Omed Al Gabon. Their God stands over them, ready to fulfill their requests. My time, oh, why? Elohim Yitzchak Rabbi be careful of him, Yishbo. Hashem stands in the assembly, where Adaskal obviously is reference to the Tibur, Dominic, Shul. And that's where he'll judge, meaning he's ready to do our bidding, he's ready to fulfill our requests.
Why did he use the language of okay and their God?
Yeah. Why did he do that? Good question. It's 20. I'm not sure. Let's see. Is there anything over here on the side? It's a little bit of a strange language. I don't see anything offhand. I don't. Good question. Rapista Omar. Zash and Nichnas the Beis HaKnesses. Sarkli Yikonos Lefnim B'Shneid Vosos. This is a famous rule. This is brought in Shulchan Aruch. There are many different approaches to this rule. By the way, Joey, if you want, we have the large one over here. Oh, you have that one, okay. So if you go into shul, you have to go in the shear of two doorways. Each door is four tfachim. So you're supposed to go into a shul eight tfachim. What's the idea behind the two doors? So the Maral, the Siv HaAvoida, it's a famous Maral, says that one door is to leave Olam Hazeh, leave your troubles behind. That's the first door. So the first door is kind of like leaving your work and your office and your teredus and your bills and all your daigas, leave that behind. The next door is being nichnas into the olam hatfila. So you've got two doors, so to speak. There's a transformation from regular life to davening life, right? Now, the halachic perspective here, that's the machshava perspective. The halachic perspective here is a big machlokes to show exactly what the reason is. Either the reason is because people are going to bother you. If you're at the doorway, people are going to go in and out. You're going to get knocked into every time, like the people who daven at the doorway during Mincha at Shombe. We can talk about them. Or the reason is because if you're going to daven at the doorway, it looks like it's a masa. You're ready to leave. As soon as shul's over, you're going to be the first one out. So that's also no good. There's another reason. I don't recall the other reason. But anyway, you have to be machmir like all the reasons. The best thing is not to daven in the doorway. Okay? It's a figure of speech. You're making this into a...
When Sammy constructs the door, what is he doing?
He's not doing anything. He's just... Some people are saying that there's a double doorway into, like we have over here. We have like a little what do they call that, an antechamber? The chamber there where they have the, what's the antechamber?
Vestibule.
Vegetable, whatever it's called over there.
Not a vegetable, like, slimy. A vegetable something.
Vegetable. Yes, the eggplant section of the shul. So that first section, but that's just, I don't think that it means this. I think it means you have a regular door at the doorway of the shul, And when you go in, you don't daven right there. You walk in eight fachim. That's all. It's, I don't think it has anything to do with the architecture of the shul. There may be some who want to say that the shul should be designed by the architect in a way in which there is a double door. There are those who say that. But anyway, here, in footnote 22, he brings over here that according to this latter opinion, whatever it was, in order that the synagogue have two doors, it must have both an outer chamber, which serves as a lobby, and an inner chamber. Okay. Yeah. It's a question whether it's literal or not. Okay. It's a question whether it's literal. Okay. This seems to be, this is not as much as I was making it. Looks like there are those who want to literally translate it literally. Anyway, so let's keep going. My Tom, that happy is the man who listens to me, who comes quickly to my doors every day. Dal sosai is a lashon rabim. Dal sosai v'lo dalti, not my door lashon yochid. It's mezuzos v'lo mezuzas, door posts. In osakei maksif tamon, what happens if you will take a walk in? Then ki maitzi matzachaim, you get life. Rav Chuna Amar, sheshu halachu beisam nesetzar pohakos ragov. Again, someone who walks to shul has to walk nimbly, walk quickly with zrizus. Matam, neidon, yirudufol, ladas, Hashem, you're going to run to bar mitzvah. Yishuhi yotze, when he walks out, halach kitzak halakimah, you have to walk slowly because you don't want it to make, look, you don't want it to look like you are finding this to be a burden. Matam, ki atotzu adai tispar, you will count my steps. Now, he brings over here that the simple meaning of the pasuk is Eov was complaining how minutely Hashem scrutinizes his actions. Footnote 29. He counts Eov's very steps. The Gemara, however, understands it to mean that he's scrutinizing the steps Eov took when he exited a place when he performed the mitzvah. So if he left quickly or whether he left slowly. So you see from here, you have to walk slowly. Okay. I'll tell you the one thing I found that these gadgets that everybody carries with them has really really impacted is this din. Because people are concerned, you know, if I'm going to start running, I'm carrying this $1,000 device in my pocket. So they start walking a little more carefully. And they don't run it like they used to. They used to run, you know, to show. I don't see that too often anymore. I blame that on the cell phone. There's a bris krusa, there's a covenant that, which it's just like a known thing from Sinai or something like that. I don't know exactly what it means, a bris. You know, it means it's known that someone who works hard on his learning in the shul does not quickly forget. Let's see. Even though it says synagogue, same is true. If it's based medrash, it says only the same thing. Okay. Yeah. Or a classroom, sure. And the bottom line is anybody who's yagea will go ahead and have success in learning. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Antunoyosa. Rabbi Yochanan from Anassos said, I don't know what that is. Rizkus. I did? We are on 54A3. It's not a problem. There are a lot of Rabbi Yochanans. By Rabbi Yochanan. That's where we're holding. It's Bris Kusa, that someone's going to have, but Sina, Lomahir Shofar. Matam as Snuim Kokma. If you're still a hate person, you're not. You know, showing everybody, showing off how you're learning. You know, they said that the altar, whenever any of the Talmidim would come to, he would be behind a curtain or something like that in Slobodka, right? Am I right? Have you ever heard this? If you want to speak to him, if he had a sefer, he'd close it. He never wanted his Talmidim ever. No one ever saw him learning, and they say he knew Shas, Baal Peh, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, knew it klar. But they never saw him work. That's an Indian. Okay. Might be a little different. Yeah, yeah, that's okay. It says that still in Pachmot, the modesty is wisdom. I'm Rabbi Yechon, I'm Brisku Sahi. Halom and Agarim Tachasef Lom Heim Rosh Hashanah.
I mean, this is such a
bad
book.
Can
they not get sleep today?
What's the matter?
It's funny.
We did laugh. Did you know that we left? You didn't notice that we left?
Everyone's sleeping.
Okay, everybody. Joey wants everybody to wake up. It's my fault. Now it's my fault. Wow, Chaim, I need you to be here in person. I need help over here. We're having a rebellion over here. Okay. I did not sign up for this, Joey. Please. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. He's not going to forget if he learns it from a book. I don't know why it says Agada. They said that they're refreshing and explain it. I didn't look into this.
How else did people learn? What was the other alternative?
I'm not sure. And how else are you learning? Because there was a time when you weren't even allowed to write down Tosha B'al Peh. Yeah, I'm not sure what it means from a book. 34. We're supposed to learn by heart. I'm not sure. I was told when I was in Shiva that chazaring one time in the Sefer, in the Gemara, if you chazar the Shaka B'Tayya Baal Peh, that was the equivalent of chazaring inside like 3-4 times, because just in terms of how well your brain will connect and remember. So I was told the opposite, that the chazaring Gemara Baal Peh is the best way to remember it. Amar Rav Tamchum, have you ever tried to chazar any of our Shaka B'Tayya Baal Peh? Hasover Talmudo, Loba Meheru Mishakeh. Hasover Talmudo, Joey. What's sover? It means he ponders over it. You know, a lot of people ponder things. Like Joey, I know he has certain questions that he ponders. Like, are you allowed to drink between the first cup at the Seder and the second cup? If he's thirsty, that's called pondering. When you ponder over a sugya and you look beyond, so then you're going to remember it.
In Yeshiva, the Rebbe, this was in Philly, the Rebbe would be, you know, they only get, you know, taught them like 1 hour a day, and the rest of the day they just can't read the book or whatever. Anyway, he saw a Rebbe walking back and forth, talking to himself and going over the shear in his mind on how he's going to present it to the students.
Right, right.
And maybe that's what they mean by pondering.
I know, we got to move it along here, man.
Yeah. Okay, man. My Tom. Lest you forget, meaning if you're seeing it, so then you're going to remember it. Now we're going to say some tefillos. So we're going to be able to go a little quicker now. We're just going to read a tefillah now that you're very familiar with. If you see a bad dream, then you make the following tefillah. So that what we're doing is we're talking about the idea of hofech. This is a meaning of how we're changing things over from klala to bracha. Okay, so that's what we say. What? This is a little bit of a takeoff of the Rebbeinu Shalom, of course. Yeah. You've transformed my hesped to dancing, undid my sackcloth. We say this in the Itoch also, if you ever say that. Okay, fine. Now, let's go on, next thing. Even if the melech is shol b'shlomo lo yishmeri, you're not supposed to answer the king. We're talking about Jewish kings.
Let's
he just stuck that in, that if a person sees a bad dream, this is typical of the Yerushalmi. I mean, I don't know, maybe it was the same person. Was it the same person? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, that's a good question. Yeah, so again, we're talking about even if the Malach Shlomo, but Shlomo, that's only the Malach Yisrael. But if the next page 54b2, if it's Gaish of Kings, then you do respond, like we said, because it's Pikuach Nefesh, right? Tani, Hayakaisim has Hashem. If you're writing, because you're a sofer, you're writing Yud Kei Vav Kei, for example, right? Then, Afil Melech Shol B'Shlomo, the Yashvenu, the same thing. If the king starts to ask you a question, you shouldn't answer him while you're writing the shame, because I'll talk about this in a second. If you're writing two or three names, the Gon Kel, Elokim, Hashem. In other words, you're writing them. It could be you saved up to write the names. Let's see, it says here they appear side by side in Yoshua 22. So there is a place where there are a couple of Shemas right next to each other. But of course, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racha, Bechanun, in the Yugel Amidus, that's an example where you have Shemas right next to each other. Now, you want to write them right next to each other. Before I talk about writing next to each other, let's talk about the first halacha. First halacha says that even if the melech is shel b'shlomo, why you're writing yud kei vav kei, you should not be mafsik. What's the problem with being mafsik?
You have to have kavana.
You have to have kavana l'shem kushas Hashem when you're writing yud kei vav kei, right? So I'm having a kavana, but it's not respectful, right? I'm writing the name of the melech malchei amlochim, and I'm interrupting to answer a melech basav adam. That's not proper. You should finish writing the shame and show it the right respect, and then deal with the Jewish king. I just want to just tell you over. What?
The Jewish king has been determined.
I think that's what we're talking about. Finish writing it, and then deal with the king. The famous Minchas Chinuch, based on a Gemara in Yuma says that there was a family that knew how to write the shame with four fingers all at once. They could hold four pens, four quills in their fingers, and they could write Yud Kei Vav Kei with one motion. And they didn't teach this Chochma to anybody else, and it was a tain on them. So the question is, what's the mila of writing it that way? So the what? No interruptions? Finish faster? Are we in a rush? So I know that Chaim's in a rush tonight, but other people are not in a rush. When you write the shame, you don't have to be in a rush. The idea that the Mepes Chinuch says is like this. When you write Hashem's name, Yud Hey, so Yud Hey is already a shame. It has Kedusha. Then you write Vav, it's no longer a shame. So it's like, it's always Kedusha. Then you write the final Hey, you've got Yud Kei Vav Kei, you have the full shame with Kedusha. If you wrote the whole thing with one action, this is a Michas Chinuch's pshat. This is what the Maila of writing it all at once. You never had a moment in time where the shame did not have Kedusha. So that's his pshat. So, okay. So I was thinking maybe this might be related to this Gemara. Anyway, let's keep going. Of course, if you're writing many Shemas, you finish writing one of them, and then you don't have to write all of them at once. Okay, next. Rabbi Yochanan Habi Yosef Kare Kume Kanishka Dubovo Ditzibarit. So he was sitting and saying Shema in front of this shul in Bovo. Over Archono, so the Archon, which is some kind of an important person, 19, what does he say? It's a Greek word for high official, okay? So Archon is a Greek word for high official. Over Lokomle Mikume, he didn't stand up. Asun bayon mimchune. So the servants wanted to go and they wanted to beat him up for not being respectful and malign. Achan said to them, Arpune, leave him alone. Benimuse devarye wasik. He's occupied with the laws of his creator. So they recognize the godless of Rabbi Yechon, obviously. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, alun kume antipusa de kisrin. They were for this also, he calls it the proconsul. I never heard of this word before, but also the same kind of idea of Caesarea. So Chamsun becoming Kamehon, this important individual saw them and he rose in front of them. Omulei, so the servant said to him, Kume Elaine Yehudoi Ad Kaim, from these Jews, you stand up. So he said to them, Apehon the Malachin Thomas, I see the face of angels. Right? I see in this Maisa like classic anti-Semitism. Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yaisi, Alon Kume Arsikinas Ba'antokia. So they were in front of this Arsikinas, who was in Antioch, whatever. Council of Kumakamayo, again, the same thing. He saw them, he rose up. Amalei, this the servants again said, what are you getting up for? Amalei, he said to them, I see these faces of men when I go out to battle and I'm victorious. There's a similar mice in the Bavli, right? He brings it out over here. In Yuma 69, it quotes Alexander the Great, made the same statement about Shemrat Tzadik. Okay. Now we have a fourth incident, which talks about this. Rab Ovun al Komi Mafusa, he appeared before the king. Kinafak, when he went out, Hafa Kadal, he turned his back to the king. So they wanted to kill him. A Hamon trained Zikukin the Nur, Nafka Mikdale Vishavkoha. They saw two sparks of fire go out of his neck. Some say these two sparks of fire looked like the rituals of the tefillin, whatever it was. The Kaim Ashanam of all calling arts, Yarasham Nikro Lechabiyarumimekal. That kind of like dissuaded them. They figured, you know, this is not an ordinary person. Whatever, whether he was wearing it or not wearing it, it certainly looked like it. Next, Tani Reb Shimon Bar Yochai brought coming out. Shimon Shem Nikol Lecha. Call says the word call. Afilu Ruchos, Afilu Shadim. Even the Shadim also will have fear from you. Reb Yanei, Reb Yonasan Hamtali Yisrotim. They were walking in the street. Council Khan Rashail behind an official, high government official, saw them. He greeted them. On the line, Shalom Chon Ravya said, may your peace be abundant. Right? Shalom Chon Ravya, right? Amrin, so they said to each other, this Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yonasan said to each other, Afilo Tayar Habriyas Ein Olin L'ra. Even exalted people have no desire to harm us. They were very happy with this. Okay. Mishlak Yeshman Hoga, we are righteous again. So Rish Lakish, very interesting story here. Rish Lakish was so deeply involved in learning. He was walking, you know, involved in trying to cause over the sugya. And it was Shabbos. He walked outside the Tchum of Shabbos. And he didn't even realize it. Your love for her, you will air it constantly. Tishka, in other words, Tishka is like a Lashon Shgaga. So he was kind of like Mechal Shabbos a little bit, Bishogeg a little bit. It's a Pelet Negemaisa. I heard stories about Rav Ruderman that he used to take long walks and sometimes would get lost in learning. So it was my mishnah kiyum. You know, we saw a kiyum of this kind of a personality in our days. Rav Yudan, Rav Yishmael, ben Hagen, we arise to Sangin. He again was meditating very deeply. Rav Yudan, havas gulsei shorom minei. His coat slipped off of him. The chachinam is darolei, and the snake was guarding it. I don't know what you need a snake to guard it for. I guess he was guarding it so nobody takes his coat. He was so involved in learning, he didn't even realize that his coat fell off of him, something like that. So the disciple said, Rabbi Hagosu Shriya, your coat slipped off. And he said to them, isn't that wicked one, meaning the snake? Isn't he guarding it? So, whatever. These are all examples of people so involved in learning that they kind of like lost track. You know, the central Chaim Knievsky, we asked the Rebbe what it is he ate, so he'd know what bracha friend to make on the meal he just ate. That kind of thing. Afilo nochesh kar kal kevel yasik, even if a snake is coiled around his heel, he should not be mafsik. Snake to snake, that's right. Rav Chunah b'shem Rav Yosi, so he said, Lashon al nochesh. It's only regarding a snake. But if it's an akrav, if it's a scorpion, then masik, you are masik lama. Why? The mafya v'chazrav of mafya. It stings time after time. I mean, it doesn't have to be provoked. It's prone to sting, okay? So you got to move. We're going to talk about this in a second. Because there's two onyanim over here. He brings that tzemach lakas rishonim. That there's one inyan here where you're davening and you have to move your location. That's one inyan of a hefsek because you're moving in the middle of davening. There's another inyan that you have to respond. That's another type of thing, or call out for help if you need help. So we're going to see that in a second. That's only if the snake was coiled around his heel. But if it's hissing and it's getting ready to attack, as you know, when a rattlesnake, when it starts rattling with its tail, you know, get out of the way. That's not a good thing. Should hide yourself. So here's what I'm talking about. But you should not interrupt your prayer calling for help. So here's where there's a talk, there's a discussion over here. It says over here, footnote two, although both talking and moving out of one space are considered interruptions, talking is considered a greater interruption. Therefore, since it's efficient to move to a spot where the snake will not see him, you're not allowed to call for help.
Yeah.
But even when you're in Sakana, you only do what you have to do. So you're in Sakana, you have to move. Okay, so you have to move. You don't need to call for help. Why should you call for help? All right. Tani, Hayami was Paul Vistracha. If you were standing, Opu Flacha, you were standing and praying in the thoroughfare or plaza. If a donkey or a wagon, you should move. Vachal, it's not good to get run over by a wagon. Vachal, you have to get through also, but you don't interrupt your prayer.
It's kind of funny that somebody would start dominating like that.
You shouldn't be dominating that to begin with, absolutely. There must be a reason. Of course, in the brackets, it says, in order to avoid problems, one should avoid praying in a busy street or plaza. Duh. Yeah, no kidding. Amen alav Rab Kanina ben Dosa, Shayu Unum Mispal, famous story for Kanina ben Dosa. He was davening. Some kind of animal bit him. He did not interrupt his prayer. They found that it was like, I'll just call it a snake for lack of a better translation. He found this dead snake by its burrow, by the hole where it hangs out. That woe to the person who's bit by this thing. But because obviously biting him was not a good idea. What's the nature of this animal? When it bites somebody, so then whoever gets to water first wins. In bar whoever gets to water wins. It doesn't have to drink the water. You just have to get to the water. They said to Rav Kanina, did you not feel the bite? It means may misfortune befall me if I felt the bite because I was concentrating my tefillah. I did not feel anything. Kadosh created a well beneath the soles of his feet. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu made it so that he got to the water first, and that was the end of that snake. Okay, well, now we're up to Nun Hey Omed Aleph. Halacha base. Let me just do one thing real quick here. I just want to